Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 4, an interesting event in the life of Jesus. We see him coming back to Nazareth, his hometown where he had been raised, as Luke said. And he does what he typically does. He goes into the synagogue, normal. He reads, normal. And he preaches, all normal. Nothing different from what he does in any other town. This time, he's handed the scroll from Isaiah, and he opens it up or unrolls it to where we would see Isaiah 61. They didn't have numbers to mark back then. So it's where we would see Isaiah 61, where the prophet proclaims that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim pardon and peace, or proclaim liberty to the captives, proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Which is a great reading from Isaiah, a wonderful image of the Messiah, who the Messiah was to be, to come and set the people free from all of the things that had held them hostage, had held them in bondage, which is what many people thought Jesus was there to do. And he was. Again, this is a case of a short-sighted reading of Isaiah 61, where the people, as they heard the words of Isaiah once again in their time, thought, well, that means he's going to set us free from those who hold us in oppression, the Romans. He's going to set us free from this Roman occupation of our area. He's going to kick them all out and give us back our country. He says, proclaim pardon and release to the prisoners of war, or those who are taken captive. They felt that they had been taken captive. The Romans occupied their towns. Wherever they went, there was a Roman garrison stationed there. So even in Nazareth, there was at least some sort of Roman presence. Everybody felt that they were under the oppression of the Romans, that they were prisoners in their own country, that they had been taken captive by this foreign power, and they thought, no, they knew, they believed that the Messiah was to come to set us free from those who occupied our towns, those who held us captive. And maybe that's what Jesus was there to do, or to open their eyes to see that they weren't really being held captive in the way that they thought they were. He says he came to proclaim the recovery of sight to the blind. Open your eyes to see the world around you. Open your eyes to see God at work, even in the midst of oppression and captivity. To open your eyes to see the sin in your own hearts that holds you captive. Isaiah says he came to deliver those trodden underfoot to freedom. Now, they had known what it meant to be trodden underfoot. They had known what it meant to be oppressed and held down. They still tell the story of Egypt and the Pharaoh and the slavery and all that they went through. They still tell the story of the wilderness and the wandering and the manna and all of those things that held them down from what they thought they deserved as freedom. Jesus said he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the Lord's welcome, the Lord's gracious hospitality. Jesus came to proclaim that God welcomed everybody. As Paul says, neither slave nor free, nor Jew nor Greek, he welcomed everybody. So for us, when we hear that Jesus sat down and says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. I am the Messiah that Isaiah proclaimed. I have come to do these very things, and in fact, I am already doing them. Healing those who are sick, healing the lame, opening the ears of the deaf, giving the blind their sight, raising the dead even. He was already doing these things. But here's the thing. When he goes back to Nazareth and says a prophet is not acceptable in his hometown, we all know what that's like. When you go back home to family, you kind of just assume the same places that you had always been in. So if you're going back to your parents, you assume your place as their child, even though you're not a child. When you go back to an old job and you see how things haven't changed a bit, the prophet isn't acceptable in his hometown because everybody knows your story. Isn't this Joseph's son? We know Joseph. We know Mary. Isn't this their son? How in the world? He was a builder. He worked with his hands. And how is it that he can say that he's doing these things? Then he mentions two places that are sure to stir up a little bit of trouble for him. He mentions Sidon, the widow in Zarephath. That's a tough one because, yeah, that famine spread throughout the entire land. It wasn't just in Sidon that there was a famine. It was everywhere. And Elijah was only sent to one. And then Naaman, Naaman the Syrian, he was healed, but he was a Syrian. He wasn't even one of God's people. So what is Jesus saying about Nazareth? That they don't deserve it? The things that you did in Capernaum, Jesus, do here. Do here in Nazareth because you're our hometown boy. Show us what you can do. Kick that field goal. Build that house. Do those things that you used to do that you're so well acclaimed. And Jesus says, nope, not here, because your blind eyes won't see. You won't know. You won't recognize. You'll attribute it to something else. This is the wrong place for me to do this, he says. Which enrages them, of course. If you're not going to do that stuff here, then get out of here. Get out of town. In fact, they were so mad that they had been called out that they were ready to throw him over a cliff. The hometown boy. Throw him over a cliff? Seems a little extreme. But that's what sin does. Since Jesus refused to do the things that he was doing in Capernaum and the other places, they didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore. Your name is mud here. You might as well get out of town. See, that's again what sin does to us. It causes us to overreact. It causes us to do things and say things that we normally wouldn't do or say, or we know that we shouldn't do or say, and usually after we do or say them, we feel that we shouldn't have done or said them. And that's what sin does. Sin holds us captive. Sin imprisons us in our own thoughts and our own ideas about who we are. Sin kind of binds us. That the things that we know, as Paul says, that we should do, we don't do, and the things that we know we shouldn't do are the things that we do, and sin just kind of keeps us. No matter how much we struggle to break free from it, sin imprisons us. Sin blinds us to the truth. When we read through Scripture, and then we see the things going on around us, or even in our own families, and we go, yeah, but I don't know about that. Yeah, but that was for another time. Yeah, but that was for another people. That certainly doesn't apply to us. Or at least not this situation. Just like the people in Nazareth. Yeah, but Jesus, come on. Do the things you're supposed to do. Do the things we want you to do. Sin oppresses us and holds us under its grip. We all know that. We have those, sins in our lives that we keep doing and keep going back to. No matter what they are, and everybody's is different, we have those things that we say, "This, I'm not going to do this again. I'm done doing this." And then a week later, or a day later, hour later, there we are again. Sin oppresses us and holds us under its grip. As we say in our confession, we cannot free ourselves from this sin. The people in Nazareth couldn't because they were so blinded and so enraged. The people that wanted Jesus dead to throw him off a cliff, they didn't know what they were doing, just like the ones who crucified him later. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know who they had with them. And we can look back and say, boy, that was silly. Boy, that was kind of dumb. They had Jesus, the Messiah, right there in their midst, and they were ready to throw him off a cliff. They were ready to crucify him. They didn't hear what he had to say. And then we look at ourselves and go, well, we're not a whole lot better. That's the thing about sin. It persists. It hangs on. So when we read here that Jesus has come to proclaim good news to the poor, or to the beggars, if you read it in the Greek, the beggars, of which we are all beggars, we hear the good news. We hear the gospel proclaimed. So as Jesus said today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing today. This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Hear the good news of who Jesus is for you, sinners and saints though we are. That Jesus is the one who came to set to liberty those who had been held captive. Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross to set us free from bondage to sin. Now hear this. He didn't set us free from sin itself. Obviously, we still struggle with that. He set us free from the bondage of sin. He said, you are no longer held captive by this. You are no longer at the mercy of sin. You are no longer the one who will pay the long price for this sin. In other words, you're still going to struggle with it. But hear the good news that Jesus has already paid the price, the ultimate price for that sin. He's already set you free. He set you free by taking the law and saying, I've fulfilled this. This checklist, I've done it for you. Because you can't do it, I've done it for you. You don't have to worry about this checklist anymore. This proclamation of a sentence of eternal death and hell, you don't have to worry about that anymore because I've already done it. Rolls that up and throws it away. Recovering of sight to the blind, he says to you, your eyes are now open. The Holy Spirit has opened your heart and eyes through faith so that when you read these scriptures, you know, you can see. We know who Jesus is. We can see what Jesus has done. He has opened the eyes of the blind. He comes to set liberty those who are oppressed, those who are trodden underfoot, those who are on the outskirts, those who are on the fringe. He has come to set them to liberty, to take the thumb off, to take the heel of the boot off. And yes, while he doesn't seem to have done that for everybody. Again, it's our short-sightedness that can't see that in Christ, no matter what our position is in society, in Christ, we are free. In Christ, we are set free. It may not look like it in the world around us, but in Christ it is that way. And finally, he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the welcome to all to God's family. He proclaims that today, that all are welcome into God's family, no matter what sin you think you've got, no matter what position you are in the world, no matter what your mind tells you. Jesus says, I died on the cross for the whole world, not just for a couple of people, but for the whole world. He proclaims that today. So again, as Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, the captives are free, you and me. Today, the blind can see, again, you and me. Today, the oppressed are no longer so, you and me. You've been set free through the good news of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.